Hello and a warm welcome to the Blue Tune Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's final game of the season against Falkirk, assess the signing of Robert Ward, and we'll also be joined by co-manager Jordan Brown. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Tune Podcast. I am Colin Byers, with me as ever is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Yeah, very good, Colin. How are you?
Not too bad. We are at the end of the season. Final game was in Saturday. I really didn't think I was going to need a toolie and a jacket beginning of May to go to the game, but here we are. That's what ended up happening.
Aye, it's May time, and I was contemplating even putting the heating on. It was a lot of calm at the weekend. Not the best of weather.
No, it's nae. And I think it maybe just the weather kind of sums up how our season's been absolutely drab, dire. And I think the weather probably summed up Saturday's game as well.
That's a positive comment based on our season that we've had. They were calling it drab. The weather sort of merges up with the season, how it's gone. And, you know, Saturday's result was nae different.
No, but there is a bit of, well, there was positive news, I guess, prior to the game. First signing, there's a first signing, really. Robert Ward coming in from Inverurie Locos. Good to get the ball rolling with these signings. I think it was something that Jordan and Ryan have been sort of positive about in trying to get players in quite early on. We'll obviously be speaking to Jordan later on about Robert Ward and what he can bring. But what we've seen and what we've taken from his stats, particularly at Inverurie Locos in the last couple of seasons, 65 appearances, 23 goals, clearly that he's going to bring something that we've been missing for the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, it's good to get this one done nice and early as well, getting our business done quite early. Like you said, he's a striker. He'll come in. I think he'll do well for us. Obviously, it'll be a slight step up for him as well. But also, we got Hamish Ritchie a couple of seasons ago from Inverurie. So if we get, you know, even half the player of what Hamish is, I think we've got a good player. Just keeping that momentum going of trying to get players in through the door. There's going to be a lot of players we anticipate coming in over the next 5, 6, 7 weeks. It was good to get this one done nice and early.
And you could throw Jack Brown's name into that list of players that we've gotten from the Highland League and have done really well. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, how the team will set up, because we've got Ward in, O'Keefe will say out and out winging as well. So that maybe opens up, it gives you an indication of how Ryan and Jordan wants to play in terms of, you know, attacking out and out wingers.
Yeah, they kind of had a settled formation in the 8-9 games that they've had through different various reasons. They've had to chop and change. But I think we're maybe starting to get a slight idea of what sort of formation they're going to go for. Maybe they're not came quite the style that we're going to see next season. But certainly you're sort of identifying positions that they're making signings for. It's positions that we feel that we've been weak on all season. So it's no surprise that we've got in Robert in.
Yeah, we've got, as I said, we've got Jordan coming up later on, so hopefully we'll get a better idea of, you know, the style and kind of play that they're looking for next season. But in terms of the caliber of a player that Ward is, he's going to Dundee United. He's learned his sort of trade there. He's going to Turriff, and then he's played for Inverurie. He's still only 21, so I think it ticks a lot of boxes in terms of his age and obviously that location wise, he's from up here as well.
Yeah, young player. He's a local player, and you know he's got that hunger and determination to play at a higher level. So to me, he ticks the three important boxes. He'll be here next season. I'm sure he'll be raring to go. Really anticipating the challenge. And the challenge for him will be to try and propel us back to League One at the first opportunity.
It's gets early stages, and I shouldn't get too excited because we've been let down quite a bit. But you know, you look at the squad already. You know, we've got Jack Brown, Andy McCarthy, Conor O'Keefe. We'll have a fit Hamish Ritchie back again. We'll have Robert Ward there as well. So already there's a lot of, you know, there's a core there already that it's starting to build.
Yeah, and I think we've seen this week as well with the contract extensions of Danny and Jason, the longevity that the club are sort of going doing. We've spoken about it, you know, at length before, about just this one-year deals and every season you're trying to rebuild. I think we're maybe starting to see a shift in that pattern as well. And, you know, I'm sure that will be for players coming in as well, that they can sort of see this path. And also we've seen it in previous years as well, that if you do well at Peterhead, you can get a move. We've seen that with a few of the loan players just announced this weekend that we've spoken about. Scott Brown scooped everything for Raith. Lyle Carman today was announced. He's scooped everything for Dundee. Grant Savory was in a playoff. You know, he's playing at Queen's Park for, we're going for the title in the Championship. So, you know, these are the sort of pathways that players can see, that if they come to Peterhead and they do play well, then they can go and progress within the other divisions.
Yeah, Lyle Carman scooped all three awards at Dundee, Player of the Year, Young Player of the Year, and I think it was a Fans Player of the Year as well. First time that's ever been done, which shows you just how good a season he's had. I guess we sort of knew how good he was anyway. It's just even at the spell he was at Peterhead.
Yeah, we always knew he's a great player. I also don't think he started the season much either. I think it might have been the first 5, 6, 7 weeks he was sort of in and out of the squad. And then from there on, he's kicked on. We always knew that we had good players. When you could put Grant Savory, Scott Brown, Josh Mulligan, Lyle Cameron, and they've all gone on to do really well. I think that's testament to Peterhead that they're sort of giving them the pathway to go and do well.
And you mentioned Jason and Danny signing their contracts, obviously announced on a Tuesday, which was after us recording last week, which is seems to be the done thing at the moment. But what a statement that is, to get those two for not just next season, but for 3 years, is quite a statement. And I guess it shows a bit of commitment from those two as well.
Oh, I think it's massive. You really can't underestimate how good it is. You've got Jason Brown, the peak of his career, you know, seemingly only going to get better as well, signing a long-term contract. Danny Strachan, we've always been an admirer of Danny. He's maybe slightly lost his way, you know, sort of last season for reasons out with, you know, his control, but he's come in this season, always given that a solid performance, worked hard for the team. And the fact that he's a local loon as well, it means a lot to him. And yet, delighted that we've got these guys on a longer-term contract and not just a standard 1 year that we're used to seeing.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's maybe going to be the path that Jordan and Ryan will take in terms of these longer contracts, because obviously everybody it's signed so far has been at least a 2. So I wonder if that's maybe how they're going to play it with these new guys that's coming in.
I would hope so. You know, it can't be good for a club rebuilding your team every season. You know, I know there are going to be certain times players will move on, but I think if you've got the bulk of your team and the core of it signed up on at least a 2-year contract, then you can see the sort of route and the path that you want to go down. So I'm hoping that this will be the sign of things to come, where we're giving out longer contracts rather than just the 1 year.
And I think Jason's his performances, although usually good anyway, since he's obviously taken over the captain's armband, seems to have gone up a notch or two as well. And I think it was harsh that he didn't get the captain's armband at the start of the season, even after Dixon had gotten injured as well.
Yeah, I think we've mentioned it before. Jason's really matured over the last, I'd say, 18 months, 2 year. And he's worthy of it. He's a guy who wears his heart on his sleeve. That's, you know, that's clear and evident. And I think he's only going to get better. I think he's now showing that maturity where he will channel, you know, his disappointment in a better manner. He's trying to build the team. He's, you know, even on Saturday against Falkirk, we're getting beat, but he's still trying to G the guys up and give them that better confidence. So I think it's a terrific appointment. And, you know, certainly him leading the squad next season will be a brilliant thing.
And just one more thing before we get into the Falkirk game. We mentioned last week about the Conference League proposal that's been soundly gone negative to the SPF, the SFA in particular. So far, 14 out of the 90 clubs have sort of declared whether or not they voted yes or no to it. A vast majority have all said no, including likes of Huntley, Keith, Lossiemouth, Nairn and Turriff. The only one that said yes so far has been Brora Rangers, which might nae come as a surprise to many, given Brora's history. But there seemed to be a bit of a momentum over the last week, since we mentioned it last week, in terms of how how badly it's sort of going down with the fans, and a lot of these clubs are bringing out statements, are saying like, with what we've been given by the SFA in terms of the proposal and what's been mentioned, and with what we've listened to the fans, we just kind of say yes to this.
Yeah, rightly so. You know, it's over 200 teams are going to be affected. To me, I'm still no. It's a flat out no, and I'm glad that there's clubs coming out, they're listening to their supporters, and they're putting statements out saying no, that they're not against it. We've seen on social media, as you said, it's gathering momentum. There's a lot more, not only just clubs, but supporter of clubs as well. I think you only just need to look at comments once a club announces it. They're getting a lot of backing, a lot of tweets, and a lot of Facebook comments on it as well. I just kind of see why you'd want to change a hell, you know, system to relegate 200 teams. To me, it doesn't make sense. I can, you know, the clubs are getting financially compensated. It's very short-sighted, because you know there's everybody else that gets impacted. And to me, if you're a club that says yes, I think it's poor.
It'll be interesting to see who out of the 42 that's in the SBFL will sort of make an announcement first or declare first, if you like. Certainly out with the Premier League, the 30 teams in the Championship, League 1 and League 2, as it stands at the moment, it would be interesting to see who sort of declares first. And whether, I'm just wondering if it's maybe a game of chicken, maybe slightly, just to see who's going to sort of flinch first.
Yeah, but I think once the first team put out their statement, whether they're yes or no, I think you will then see the rest of the clubs almost like a domino effect, but it's who's going to be that team to take the first stance. We've seen a few clubs say no, and then we've seen the Brora one where they said yes, and you've seen the backlash that sort of came their way as well. So you're just wondering whether clubs are sitting on the fence a wee bit and they want to commit publicly at the moment. But like I said, I think once the first one comes out and says no, you will then see the domino effect.
It may be a case that a lot of these clubs are just waiting for the season to be finished. I know like Peterhead's season is finished, but in terms of the league, obviously the playoffs are still on the go. So still another couple of weeks before the season actually finishes, Premier League a little bit later. So there's maybe a few clubs are just waiting for the season to be officially finished before making that announcement.
Yeah, hopefully, as long as they come out and say no, then I'll make fuss how late they leave it. But, you know, I can't see why a club would want to say yes. Like I said, it's impacting over 200 clubs, and I'm still a no.
So, last game of the season was on Saturday. The curtain came down on what was a truly awful season, which ain't going to sugarcoat it because it's exactly what it was. Falkirk were the visitors, a side who had secured second place in the league, obviously looking forward to the playoffs this week. We sort of billed it as a bit of a dead rubber. It sort of felt like a way initially for the sort of first, 20, 25 minutes. I don't think the weather really helped too much in terms of like end of season football, but you know, 3-1, I think in the end it was maybe just overly harsh in terms of how we played, but it's one of those sort of running themes that this season that we get ourselves into sort of good areas without creating too much, and at the other end the teams that are better than us are taking their opportunities.
Yeah, I think if there was ever a game that sort of summed up a damp squib in an end to season, it was the first 20 minutes in the game on Saturday. Neither team really put up their best showing. I think Falkirk had a heavily rotated squad as well going into the playoffs. But yeah, we got caught in the sucker punch. Obviously, they got two quick goals in the second half. But, you know, it was a game that sort of really didn't flatter us.
No, and I don't think anybody was expecting too much going into that game. But you look back in the game, and even before Falkirk took the lead, Oyneson had a great chance running with this 23 minutes mark from a Jason Brown cross through a corner. But obviously, it came to Jason, and he's headed it over. One of those chances, you know, you would expect him to at least hit the target.
Yeah, Josh has gotten better over the last couple of weeks, but that was one of them you're really expecting to make the keeper work. I think his performance was sort of chalk and cheese for the Celtic game, if I'm being honest. It wasn't certainly one of his better games, but you've got to try and make the keeper work in that situation, unfortunately, isn't it?
And unfortunately, 2 minutes later, what happens? Falkirk got to the other end and score, and There was a slight suspicion of offside. I think a lot of the Peterhead players thought it was. You look back on it, it's probably not even anywhere sort of conclusive. You would probably give it maybe just the forward in terms of the, you know, was it on or was it off? But it was one of those, it could have gone either way.
Yeah, probably. But that linesman wasn't going to give us anything the whole game. I was pretty clear early on. Yeah, I mean, it's one of them. You always want to favour the attacker in them sort of instances. And that's exactly what the official's done.
But even from a defensive standpoint, though, it's a cross. I mean, it wasn't just a... Okay, it found his man, but you know, it was across for the edge of the box, and he's managed to find his way in between two of the defenders and head it in. So, for a defensive sort of point of view, take away the offside thing, it wasn't a great goal to concede.
No, our recovery and reaction was poor. Again, it sort of sums up the whole season, does it? We sort of a few minutes earlier, we could have been 1-0 up, and then we're punished. Okay, like you said, take away whether it's onside or offside or not. He's been allowed to go through, and then the edge of the box, he's got his feet and everything sorted and scored. But yeah, just generally, I wouldn't say we were flat, but you could certainly say it was a game that really meant nothing, you know, other than just finishing off the season.
But we did get an equaliser just before half time. Jack McIver getting his first goal. Terrific goal it was. Solo run from inside the Falkirk end, a breakaway from a corner, which is unusual because usually it's us that's conceding goals from a breakaway from a corner. But Jack, I think this goal sort of sums up how he's been in the last two or three weeks. Maybe hasn't had the best of times, you know, under while Davey was there, but seems to have kind of blossomed under Ryan and Jordan.
Yeah, there's a few players that go in that bracket, didn't quite work out January to March, and then once Jordan and Ryan sort of got the interim job that some of the players have kicked on, I think Jack's a prime example of that. I thought he was really good when he came on against Kilty. And then he did well on Saturday as well against Falkirk. A lovely goal, a really good finish, very composed. I think we've seen a few times this season players have gotten into similar sort of situations and it's either hit the defender or it's gone well wide of the goal. He got his body over it, got his foot round it, and you know, it's a really good compose for the young man.
Or get into the position and not even taking a shot, which is something that comes from a lack of confidence. So it was good to see him just, you know, being able to have that confidence. And I think we're sort of screaming for him to make the pass. And we're going, oh no, he's cut inside, what's he doing? But he's finished it.
Yeah, I think what I liked most about it was obviously it's a counter for a corner that we're defending. I think 9 times out of 10 this season where we've got the ball in the halfway line sort of area, we've been defending, we're more likely to check back, and then the sort of momentum of the attack's gone, whereas Jack got the ball and he just drove in their half, nobody was going to touch him. Like I said, a really good finish.
And that was the half-time, so obviously we were quite pleased with that, but then, you know, 50 minutes into the second half, we found ourselves 3-1 down, quick 2 goals in 2 minutes, I think it was, from the visitors, and you know, we talk about the goal coming from a counter-attack. Their second goal was exactly the same. It was sort of giving the ball away edge of their box. We know we're doing quite well, and then within 3-4 passes, you know, we'll find the balls in the back of the net.
Yeah, it is a point, and but I think we started there's been a pattern, I would think, the last 5-6 weeks where we haven't really started the second half as well as we maybe could. I think this game was a dead drummer, didn't mean anything, but you know, again, we've been caught up with an early goal in the second half. You know, it happened against Dunfermline as well, it's happened previously. So it may be something that next season, also there'll be a lot of changes in the summer, but maybe something we just need to be more clinical with next season.
As I said, within 2 minutes, that was a third goal. Now the keeper can deal with this one, maybe slightly critical of him for the second one, but an absolute peach of a finish for the third goal. We were sort of directly behind it. We could just see it was going nowhere but the top corner.
Yeah, really good finish. Just sort of leaned back ever so slightly, got his foot right around the ball and just curled it in the back of the net. And as you said, we're right behind it, a really good view of it. And it was going nowhere other than the back of the net.
And that was, what, 15 minutes into the second half. So, you know, still a good half an hour to play. But, you know, once the substitutions start getting made, I think both sides end up making five substitutions each. So that kind of stopped the momentum of the game. And you just sort of felt as though it was just going to run out for Falkirk to pick up all 3 points. There was nothing really after that that you could say, you know, we could get ourselves back into this game.
No, I think once the third goal went in, it sort of cemented it for both sides. And as you said, the substitutions killed the momentum, but it just sort of petered out. You know, some players getting a wee bit of game time, but you know the damage was, you know, well done. Not just this season, but you know in that game as well, 3-1. I didn't get flattered Falkirk either. It was one of them games where, obviously, it was nothing to play for. You were hoping to put in a good performance, but I think 3-1 was the worst result we could have ended up with.
No, and I think we mentioned last week we were sort of calling for some of the fringe players to play and to get at least get a run out sort of thing. So I think the vast majority of them got at least half an hour. So it was good to see that. Obviously, we know John Allen's going to be here next season. But the other four that came on, was did they do anything, do you think, to justify getting another deal for next season?
I think there's going to be a lot of changes in the summer. I'm not convinced that any of the players that are out of contract will be here next season. I think there's been a lot of players coming in, you know, even in January or going back to last season as well. I'd be surprised if any of the players that did come on have done enough to earn a new deal, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think it's safe to say that the vast majority of the ones that came in under Davey and the ones that's maybe left over from Jim, for example, that I think the vast majority of them probably won't be here next season, and that's... I don't think that would come as a surprise to many folk.
No, I mean, we've won three games last season. I don't think there's anybody that you can really say that come in the summer that would be a stick on to stay next season. I think the whole, you know, Davey Robertson tenure, it's now worked out from the management side to the changes within the background staff and then the players that he brought in. I think it's one of them. It's a lot of lessons will be learned from it. I think it's been a costly period as well for the club, not just also the financial side, but also now going down to League Two. I do think had we gotten, you know, potentially another 4 or 5 weeks under Jordan and Ryan, that we might have caught in Clyde. All ifs and buts, I know, but I think the performances were getting better. I think you take away the Falkirk performance, you know, I was a wee bit flatter, but with good reason and nothing to play for. We might have done something, but it's all geared up to next season and, you know, getting a squad in place and you know, taking League Two by the horns and then trying to get back at the first opportunity.
Yeah, so before we get Jordan on, we'll go through some of your comments for the last time this season and see what you made of it. Firstly, Neil Thompson, certainly been a hard going this season. Went in the League Cup and barely had a squad, ended up signing poorly. Carried on to the start of the league and got into the habit of losing. I think Jim might have gotten it sorted out if he was still there in the next window, but David Robertson signed even worse players and continued to play them. There has been improvement under Jordan and Ryan since they took over, but need to get the right players and hopefully get a decent start of the season. That's an interesting one there. He thinks that maybe Jim and if he got into the next window, might have gotten things sorted out. So I think somebody had mentioned that previously as well. I wonder if it's one of those hypothetical situations, you know, if he'd got into the window, would he have been able to identify other players? I certainly don't think he would have been signing players that we've been ended up with under Davey.
Yeah, hindsight's a great thing. I think the players that he brought in the summer were questionable. Could we have afforded to go? You know, it's hypothetical. We didn't improve really between October and January anyway. So there's an argument to say, well, we shouldn't have twisted. We should have stuck. There is those that would say that Jim had enough credibility in the bank to be allowed to have a poor transfer window and then try and sort it in January. The club made that decision to relieve Jim's duties. you know, the whole David Robertson sort of experiment didn't work. But now it's full focus on supporting Jordan and Ryan going into next season.
Jason Argo says that today's performance sums up the season. Second to every ball, no aerial threat, wayward passing. Falkirk held the ball better, passed it a lot better and fought harder in the middle of the park. Their wide players had more space than Buck Rogers. The referee and linesmen were inept and didn't help. Only a few players stayed on the pitch to applaud the Flans. The rest couldn't wait to get off the park. A lot of work between now and next season, and to add insult to injury, I missed our goal. Nothing worse.
Well, he's missed a good goal as well.
I mean, we did score a lot this season, but to miss one of the better ones is quite a story.
Oh, I'd be kicking himself for that.
Jack McLean, been a tough season, had no players going to the League Cup, signed players who we didn't know if they were decent or not, got into the habit of losing, leading Jim to resign. Davey made no difference, was overhyped in my opinion, signed one or two good players but the rest were awful. Poor performances including 7-0 against Airdrie left Davey to lose his job. Ryan and Jordan have made an improvement but still need to come, but more to come. Since they've taken over, hopefully they can get a decent transfer window and bounce straight back into League One. And I think that's
very accurate and fair.
It's probably it sums it all up really within that paragraph. And I think we're all hoping that we bounce back at the first time of asking, but we also at the same time didn't want to put too much pressure on Ryan and Jordan simply because obviously their lack of experience in management. So does that fine balance?
Yeah, I think there is. Jordan and Ryan came to club like the back of their hand. They'll be fully aware of it's expected. I think what we've also got to be cautious of is, yeah, we could maybe sign another 8-9 players and have a good squad, but it's how you get off and how you perform. I think, you certainly don't want to use Dia Brechin. You know, it's a prime example that they went through the first division and second division. And they've ended up, I think they're going into a third season now in the Highland League, fourth season, sorry. So it's difficult. You don't know what it is, be that team that just becomes a yo-yo club and sit in mid-table in League Two. You've got to try and come back at the first opportunity. I'm sure the club will support, Jordan and Ryan and their targets that they've identified. Get them in. They'll work hard in the training sessions to be ready for the start of the season in August.
Peter McLeod, in one word, it was a disaster, especially the appointment of Robertson. Put on the positive side of the appointment of Ryan Jordan has given everyone a lift. And there is light at the end of the tunnel. Next season will be better. Andrew Begley, this season is over, so just pick yourselves up and dust yourselves down. I look forward to next season under Ryan and Jordan's leadership. We have to have a better season. And I think that's fair to say that we probably will have a better season. Unless we go a whole season and only win two games.
Don't even joke about that. it can't get much worse. But yeah, I think everybody's pulling in the same direction. I wouldn't say that was the situation last summer, but I do think now everybody's pulling in the same direction. We've identified, or the club's identified, where the targets that they want and, how quickly they can get them in is a different matter. But, the guys have got targets, I'm sure, in their mind, and it's about how we start next season.
As I said last week, it seems to be a lot more positivity, even though we've been relegated. So it's about taking that momentum on. And as I said, we've got Robert Ward in already, Danny and Jason signed 3-year deals. So obviously there is that sort of feel-good factor already starting ahead of next season.
Yeah, it's important to get these guys tied down on new contracts and, as we said, we can see that pathway for these guys with longer-term deals. I don't think the chopping and changing of players every summer is, going to help anyone. And you're hoping that the players that do come in over the next, 6-7 weeks are on similar sort of contracts.
Right, so obviously we won't dwell too much on the Falkirk game, but we are delighted to say that the co-manager Jordan Brown is joining us this week, and here he is. This is what he's got to say. So Jordan Brown is now with us. Jordan, good to see you again. It's been a wee while since we've had you on. Safe to say, a lot has changed since the last time we spoke, but how are things with you?
Yes, no, hi guys, thanks for having me on, back on. I think, yeah, that's a bit of an understatement, is it? Things have changed since the last time I've been on. No, all good. I think apart from the obvious disappointment of how the kind of whole seasons went from start until about until about the last few weeks, really, when we got a bit of positivity, we got a result and got some togetherness within the club. Just really, really looking forward now and really to put that now that it's officially done and dusted. Really look forward to what's to come.
Do we call you co-managers or is it joint managers or have you sort of sussed that out yet?
I think gaffer now, do we?
Yeah, I think me and Ryan have still to fight that one out, I think.
Has Jason called you gaffer yet then?
Yeah, definitely. He's changed it. He's had to change the name of the phone and everything.
Before we go any further, what's your thoughts on Saturday's game then against Falkirk? It was sort of billed as a sort of dead rubber between the two sides, but how did you sort of see the game as a whole?
Yeah, we tried to get it across the boys that it wasn't a dead rubber. You know, it's still boys where we wanted to put a performance that could be proud of on. I think especially for the loyal fans like yourselves and the guys that come home and away every week, like, it was important to finish on some sort of positive note. Again, it's a similar story to really how a lot of the games have kind of went. We were obviously playing against the wind that first half there. Falkirk are still a good side, no matter what team they had out. They're a full-time team. They were looking to build a bit of momentum going into the playoffs. But I thought first half we competed really well. Got the goal, which was a great goal by Jack McKeever. And then I thought second half was probably the best we've started a second half in a long time. And we probably just got ahead of ourselves with a bit of excitement, a bit of momentum, where we thought we'd try and force a goal early. One bad decision in the final third, and they kind of caught us in the break. So too many guys up the park, and I think that both our second and third goals, I think, were really good finishes. But from our point of view, yeah, we shouldn't have left ourselves so exposed in that area. But like I say, I think we just kind of went a bit gung ho for trying to encourage the boys to start second half a lot better than we have been doing, and it almost kind of backfired to an extent that we had too many players club a pitch. But then I think we always plan to make the five changes in around the 60-minute mark to get the guys who have. All the guys that we've had recently in recent weeks deserve to be on the pitch at some point. So we made a point of doing that, minus Hamish Ritchie, obviously, who was just in and about with the hope that we might have got him on at some point. But yeah, it wasn't worth risking the end. So yeah, and they got, as we said to him after the game, I think it was, the game could have easily fizzled out and you know, I mean, Falkirk could have filled their boots a bit. They brought on a couple of strong players as well, but the guys competed well for the last half an hour. So yeah, just overall quite happy that it's done now, and I didn't think there was any disgrace in the performance on Saturday.
A bit of a sucker punch. It was 2 goals in 2 minutes, really, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I mean, if it stays at the one, then you've always got a chance. Two makes it more difficult. And then, yeah, like I say, with the changes that happened, the game became maybe slightly a bit false, with them probably focusing on not getting anyone injured before Tuesday, and ourselves just to try and get boys a run out. But, yeah, no, yeah, it was the 2 goals did kill it without a doubt, and it's something, again, there's numerous things we want to work on, but it definitely is, when we're under the cosh at times in games, and not to kind of get let the game run away from us.
And you mentioned the substitutions, you made use of your subs on Saturday, and you made all five, and four of them obviously out of contract. John Allen's got to be here next season, so did you get to see what you would like to have seen out of those five that came on then?
I think so, yeah. I think it's always difficult for them, especially the ones that hadn't been playing a lot, to kind of come on for in a game like that, you know, and against a team with the quality of Falkirk. I think it's always difficult. In fact, a game you're also getting beat 3-1, you know, so it's never easy. There's never a judgment made in them kind of games. But yeah, like I say, like, attitude wise, the boys that have all been involved in every squad since we've been there, especially more recent weeks, have shown a great attitude. So can't fault them that way. Obviously, yes, there will be changes. I can't comment too much right now as we haven't kind of spoke to everyone, but I'm sure we'll have an update sent out later this week in regards to that side of things.
But one you can probably comment on is was announced just before the game on Saturday. Robert Ward's come in from Inverurie Locos. Tell us about him and what we can expect to see next season.
Yeah, I think he gives us, I've been harping on in some interviews about something different, something special, something out of the box. And I think he can give us that. He's strong. He's small in kind of stature, but he's quite stocky and strong and has that sharpness. Obviously got that eye for goal, which is something that we have been seriously lacking, not just this last season, I think, but in the past couple of seasons. So the more players we can get on board like that, and someone like Robbie, when me and Ryan kind of took over, there was rumours of a pre-contract kind of thing, but there was quite a bit of work went on behind the scenes. Me and Ryan kind of got good chats with Wardy, he wants to be called, by the way, not Robbie, apparently, so I better correct that and keep him happy. Yeah, we had a couple of really good chats with him, and he's really keen, and that's the type of player we want to attract, you know, someone who really wants to make that step up and, yeah, want to test himself at a higher level, which I think it was at Dundee United when he was younger. He went to Turriff and then Locos, and he's been one of the key players. I think every player you would speak to that's in the Highland League would have a good word to say about him, or he was a difficult player to play against. So yeah, it's just seeing how that step up adapts. But we're absolutely delighted to get it done. There's a few things, like I say, when we took over that was behind the scenes that were needing tidied up, and Wardy's one was one of the ones that we wanted to go over the line and soon, and it's something that me and Ryan have kind of earmarked. Obviously there's a lot going on and off the pitch. We want to keep that positivity going, keep that announcements coming week on week. So, yes, it will hopefully be the first of quite a few over the next few weeks.
Is it similar to a Conor O'Keefe then, do you think?
I think so, yeah. I think nail on the head there. I think he's maybe not quite as lightning quick as Jinky is, but yeah, more, but playing off that left side, kind of coming in the way, but he can also play as a nine as well. So even though he's kind of, like I say, small in stature, he's got a really good work ethic, strength there. He trained with us actually on Thursday night, so it was the first time we'd kind of obviously seen him in the flesh as our kind of player. Obviously, the formalities were done on Thursday, so yeah, it was good to get him integrated with the boys. He was up at the game Saturday, so wee things like that. We're big, massive on off the pitch as well. You know, they've got to be good for the group, and I think that goes a bit under radar at times, but we know how important that is. So yeah, it's a good one to add for sure.
And is that one of the things that you've found maybe difficult at the moment? Maybe David Roberts has been speaking to players for next season, and then obviously you guys have then taken over, and maybe the formalities have need to be sorted out, or maybe you just want to go a different way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's been a couple, which I'm sure you will hear about. But I think, yeah, when David was maybe speaking to these boys back in January, he, first and foremost, you don't know what league you're going to be in, you know. So there's maybe been things offered, things spoken about, and yeah, but I mean, in the grand scheme of things, that's what we wanted to clear up with Wardy, was that we wanted him, you know. I've actually probably trained him in the past as well, when we trained with Locos a couple of times, back when we're training once a week and things like that. So we knew him, yeah, and yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in the background that we kind of need to get right, to be honest, but we will, and it's something that we've been, yeah, working around the clock on.
Have you found it difficult, maybe, not to try to convince players, but also, as you said, you didn't care which division you were going to be in. Has that played a big part in maybe some players sort of holding off until the end of the season and sort of announcing things?
For sure. I mean, it's probably been a frustration for me and Ryan in the last couple of weeks since we've been officially allowed to kind of speak to players that are out of contract, because we spoke to quite a few. But I think we've got to be respectful as well and realise that the season wasn't over, not just in our case, but in a lot of these players' cases until maybe Saturday there. But even still, like, there's players that are going through the playoff scenario now for the next couple of weeks. So we really do just need to be patient. But I think we've got a good... I firmly believe in that we've got a really good, strong core there, you know, of 10 to 12 boys, whatever it is at the moment, that we do have signed, and we will be reporting back for pre-season. But a big thing that we are on as well is... I think everyone knows the struggles last year, especially coming back to pre-season. When you come back with maybe five or six boys, there's injuries, there's suspensions, whatever else, and it does just take demotivates boys straight away, you know. But if we can have a group there of our targets to have up at 15-16 at least, you know, there for the first day of pre-season in the middle of June, and really get down to work.
And you've managed to get Danny and Jason signed up for next season as well, not just for next season but for the next three seasons as well. How much of a statement was that to get them for that long?
Yeah, absolutely delighted. The two of them, I think we said before, are really key. We've got a big belief in Danny can be really successful, and really his career can go any way he wants it to go. You know, if he really cements down a place in the Peterhead team and kicks on like we believe he can kick on, then he can go and play at a higher level without a doubt. But first and foremost, yeah, as a Peterhead player, I think it's key to have him tied down for 3 years. Obviously, the past kind of model, structure, whatever it has been at the part-time level, is to have boys on the year-on-year contracts. But we kind of, especially with the boys up here, you know, we need to be looking after them. We need to be tying them down. We need to be having that security, not just for them, but for us as well. And yeah, making a statement that we are hopefully here to stay and build something that's not just for one season and we'll see what happens, have to rebuild again the next year. That's not what we're after, and hopefully that's something you'll see when we kind of take boys on board. Jason's slightly different. He's in the peak of his career, or should be, you know, and that security for him. I think he has earned that over the years, and hopefully, again, all these boys were signing long term. It's not a case, all right, there you go, that's that, and that's your feet up. I think they all know themselves they're the right type of boys that will really look to kick on as well.
And it's the kind of guys that you want at the club. I think every club would want, you know, a Jason Brown or a Danny Strachan in terms of their love for the club and their passion for the team.
For sure, and yeah, like I touched on earlier, like, we know the importance. We refer back to our Cove teams, me and Ryan, like, the importance of having that close-knit team off the pitch and how far that can go. And boys that know the club, you know, obviously me and Ryan know the club almost like the back of our hand. Jason and Danny, I'm sure will be in that position in a few years to come, a few years' time to come as well. But, yeah, it helps. It really does help and helps us drive what we're trying to do. The more of these boys we can get in, and like I say, I don't think we could be in a, it sounds daft to say, we would just finish bottom league and relegate, but I don't think we're in a better position now with the core of the squad that we've got, with the quality of someone like Hamish Ritchie coming back as well.
If you sort of learn lessons maybe from last season then, because obviously you mentioned that coming into pre-season there was maybe a handful of players signed up, so has that been a deliberate ploy from you and Ryan to make sure that you've got a core of players to start next season with?
For sure, and I think it's a frustration for us as well, you know, to try and get, we want things done and dusted, but obviously we are realistic. There's 5-6 weeks to go before we will be back for pre-season, so that's a long time. But yeah, in the same breath, we want to do that, exactly. I think I always said, and I've probably said it a few times in interviews as well, that the frustrating thing about last season, I think if there was ever a season that you couldn't be slightly off the ball or be left kind of in the lurch, and it was last season, you know, because the competitiveness and quality of League One was absolutely ruthless, you know, and we found that out. So yeah, I think it's something, and like I say, we're working every single day now to get that kind of squad together and really have a set plan for coming back pre-season. Sure, pre-season games will be announced in due course. We've got 3 or 4 booked up already, so it's good to have that as well. It gives us a kind of time, a target and timeline and schedule to really build on.
And how much different is your pre-season going to be this year? Because also last season it was a coach, this year it's co-manager. Does that change your plans quite considerably?
Yeah, I think there'll be absolutely zero running now, especially for myself. No, I think, again, we've had great experience of coaches. Obviously, Hoggy was in the year. Hoggy's been in for the last few years at Peterhead. We worked under Tam Ritchie at Cove, who was an excellent kind of sports scientist and has known a lot of stuff. So we've got a lot of good material there. Myself, yeah, we'll join in as much as we can because we've obviously got to be fit as well. But I think, again, probably something that's really good about the group as well, they're a really good age. You know, a lot of them are a good age. We've obviously got myself, Ryan, Stuart McKenzie, slightly different as a goalkeeper, and Jason almost probably is the oldest four at the moment. I don't think I'm missing anyone out there. But yeah, the group is a really young, fit, hungry group, you know. They are, and the fitness, we don't see that being an issue, but we need to be driving that again right from that first session. We'll have a good plan to get that done. But yeah, I might need to miss out the odd run if these young boys are running around me, which they have.
It's convenient, eh?
But no, I was quite happy to see that stat, actually, that I played kind of the most games this year as well, which, yeah, some people will say that's because I've been picking myself for the last 8 weeks. But no, I'm quite proud of that because the last two seasons really have been quite broken up and difficult. And if going beyond that, actually, as well, with the Cove situation where I was on the bench a lot, I was happy that physically I feel really good, and hopefully that continues.
If I can take you back to the end of last season, we know we just finished the game against the Airdrie. We'd ended the season unbeaten in 6, I think it was, and we know that some of the senior players, Simon Ferry, Derek Lyle, Ryan Conroy, etc., were leaving. But Martin and myself sort of spoke at the end of the season and thought, well, you know, if we could keep a core of that players, sign 2 or 3 or 4 really good players coming in, we could have had a really good season. Did you sort of have that inkling at that time that we, you know, if we could have pushed on for a really good season?
100%. It was something that when I had discussions with Jim right when the season finished, I made it clear I wanted to be part of this because I was really, really excited by the kind of young, and I think I said that at the end of the season as well, actually. I was really excited how we finished the season. We had that young group. A lot of us obviously knew the likes of Sai was moving on, which was going to happen at some point. You know, he wanted to go and better himself. And obviously Dell and Conroy and that were ones that went with him. But yeah, I think with the excitement of having your Hamish, Scott Brown, Grant Savory, I think all that around there was really, really exciting for the club. And then obviously we had some strong loans as well with Ryan Duncan, we've actually been okay with loans. We've done quite well, successful with the loans we've had, and I think you've always got to add that each year. But yeah, that same boys, and I remember having a conversation with Jim, and I said, look, I really want to be part of this, like, especially when he's asked me to be in the coach and around these young players. I thought it was really positive, and I remember him actually saying to me, I said, yeah, he says, Jordan, it'll actually be really difficult because I've got a feeling we're going to lose a few. So again, that was disappointing. I think it's great to see how successful these boys went on and done, like Scott and Grant. I don't think there was ever a doubt there that they would do well at their clubs. But yeah, it was just the underlying stuff there where we had maybe worked in previous years, you know, where we'd recruited at last minute. But I think you'll see more and more clubs now. Obviously, we know how competitive down south is in the Central Belt. Up here, you look at it now and you really look at, especially with Cove going down, you look at ourselves, Cove, Fairmartins, Breakins, they're all looking to sign the same players, you know, and the competition for players becomes really strong. But no, yeah, we'll learn a lot, both us as managers now and the players from last season. I think we say to the young boys, like, they'll hopefully never have another season like that in their life, you know, but they'll really, really hopefully look back on that in 3-4 years' time thinking, geez, that was a real low, but look where we are now, kind of thing. So that's what we're trying to install in it.
It's probably unlikely, but have you ever seen a season like that bad at all in your career? Because it just seemed to be like one thing after another, especially early on.
It literally did. You couldn't make up. And then like you say, like even at the start of last season, I think everyone kind of tends to forget as well. Obviously, Jason missed the 4 games with suspension or whatever it was, and then came back and got concussion and missed another 3. Hamish and Andy get really, really serious injuries in the first. One was a pre-season game, one was the first competitive one. So yeah, like I think I've said as well before, there's a million and one excuses for what's happened, but it's for us now to put that right, you know, and to really ensure that we do. Obviously, you can't see these unforeseen things like injuries, but putting together a plan that doesn't allow things like that to happen as well. And I think both physically and mentally, it was really, really testing for everyone involved. I think we've even, you wouldn't believe it, but the things that people don't see, I think there was 3 or 4 away games this year where we got stuck on the Perth Bridge because of an accident coming back, you know, and it's things like that. You think, honestly, if anything else could go wrong, then we wouldn't believe you because it's been crazy. So yeah, I think the whole situation with trialists and that's what we're keen to avoid as well. You know, we want a settled squad. Like, we were still turning up. And this isn't the man, this isn't Jim's fault, this isn't Davey's fault. This is just the way it was, the way it kind of played out. We were still having trialists turn up with us in October, and then obviously Davey comes in the November, December, and it's the next batch of that, and it doesn't really stop till the middle of February, you know. So all that wee things, they all add up. And then, it was definitely unprecedented. And like I say, you just got to use that for kind of motivation. Not that you need to be motivated, but use it as motivation that you're kind of never in a place like that again, you know. But that's where me and Ryan are lucky in a way, I suppose, that we've got now the chance to implement that. It's not always been the case, you know, as players you can kind of be just dragged along, but we've now got a real chance to implement that and put things in place so that you minimise the chance of that happening at least.
And how did you find early doors, the coaching side of things with Jim?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, Jim was fairly laid back, as we kind of know. So, I mean, we'd still get together on the Tuesday, and actually for the first, what must it have been, the first 3-4 months, us Aberdeen North boys were training at Comet Park on a Thursday night. So we'd train in Dundee together on a Tuesday and then Comet Park on a Thursday, and I'd take that session on a Thursday with the boys, and it was really enjoyable. It was only an hour, but it was, it was really good, and I think everyone enjoyed that. But obviously when things weren't going so well, you know, the pressure's there, all train together again, and that's hence why the two training nights went back to all together down in Dundee. So yeah, no, the coaching side, I enjoyed it. I think, yeah, it's hard, is it, when you're a coach and a player, you know, you don't want to do too much, you don't want to do too little, but at the same time you're trying to concentrate on performing on the park, which was hugely difficult at the time we were going through. So Yeah, it's something that I enjoyed, even taking the warm-ups. And again, another thing that started seeing, just thinking back, Hoggy was actually injured and not able to come to basically any games until I think the second or third of the season. So even warm-ups and that, which isn't always ideal, you know, I was still having to take them and then play the game. But I never shied away from it, and I wouldn't shy away from it and let the boys down on that side. But yeah, it was difficult at points. But overall, enjoyable. And yeah, again, a great experience for what's kind of coming next.
Was that, did that give you sort of a wee bit of a fire in your belly to sort of carry on that coaching side and move into management, but not necessarily at this stage though?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's always, I've never kind of hidden away that that would be the case. But yeah, like looking at it, it makes you want to, you know, you, as a player, I think that's where, again, me and Ryan are lucky at the moment, because we're still players, it's still so relevant to us what players want, what players need, what keeps them happy, what doesn't make you so happy. So all that wee things, all that wee percentages, I think make a huge difference, and it's something that we're looking to really get across to the boys and really work with them, not them working for us, you know, but working with us and really driving a whole positive attitude around training, because training can, especially with Jim, like Jim was here for however long, you know, it's a long, long time. Training becomes similar, you know, with what it's been right through. Obviously, Si did a bit of it the last year, and Jim and Davey kind of took back on what it was at the start of this year, and it was difficult because there's so many players coming and going, you can never get any sort of rhythm or anything to it, but it's definitely something that me and Ryan are looking to improve and have done really in the last few weeks. So, and the training side, coaching side, yeah, it's definitely something that's kind of ever changing, but for the better.
Do you sort of look at what Rhys McCabe has done at Airdrie this season in terms of being able to manage and still play at the same time, and look at that and say, well, he can do both. You know, I can maybe do both as well.
Yeah, I think it's a tremendous example because how successful they've been, you know, and even I think they did have a real sticky point at some point during the season, but you look at it and he stuck to his beliefs and kept playing the way they were playing and got results for it. And I actually fancied them for the playoffs, but after playing Falkirk on Saturday, they were pretty strong even with that kind of second string. So it'll be interesting. I think it'll be interesting. And but even in, not just there, you've got obviously Stranraer now with Agnew going down that route, Kelty with Tidser. There's a few more going down that route. So, but no, the McCabe one, and it's interesting because I've been doing my C licence, just trying to finish off an assignment today on my day off. So I was still working. but on that course, I was actually on the course with Ferdice, who's Reese's assistant, and obviously captain. And we had a couple of really good chats on just basic things like I've kind of touched on there, like your warm-ups, your drills for the guys. You know, nobody wants to be running about now forever without touching a ball and stuff. It's all kind of, everything's ball-related and the comfort of being comfortable with the ball, which, again, is something that we can be really, really better with. So, yeah, that model and playing for the both of them has worked. And, yeah, I think I've said before as well, me and Ryan are looking to build that support network. Like Barry and Donald have been immense recently for us, you know, on the side, but it's not their kind of scope. So we will look to put in place some sort of coach there as well.
How have you found it being able to bounce ideas? You mentioned drills and everything there. Obviously, it's still all new to you and Ryan as well. So how have you found it with your support network of bouncing ideas off and getting good feedback on it?
Yeah, good. And I think just similar, like I touched on there, you know from the players straight away. You know, you can know from them if they're kind of engaged or not engaged. And I suppose that's what we've been able to do because we've been in that position of both recently, you know, on the pitch and off the pitch on a training night. It helps at the moment that Ryan doesn't really train, and so he kind of oversees it. He manages his body through the week, so he's got that general oversight of that. But yeah, feedback from even the likes of Barry and Donald's great. Even at kind of before games, we'll do the team talk, and they'll feedback on that if there's anything there. Half time, we'll kind of give the boys 5 minutes to kind of speak amongst themselves to kind of when we come in. We have found that a wee bit difficult when we come off the pitch, you know, straight away, especially with being a disappointment. You just want to kind of not explode, but you know, some things can be said in the heat of the moment. So yeah, we take our time with that, and then after the game as well, obviously Baz and Donald, you always see the game different from the side of the pitch, don't you? So really take on board that, and I think that's key to, you know, bounce off quite a few people, because it's easy to get sucked into one opinion if you're involved in it, both training and a game.
How have you and Ryan found it being playing in the game, but also trying to do the tactical side as well? How have you found the balance?
Yeah, I think it's got better week on week, to be honest. Obviously, we've kind of ideally we'd have a formation that's set and one or two formations that were set, and everyone in the squad knows where to be on and off the ball, knows the expectations on and off the ball. But obviously that's been difficult because, I mean, we were just interim managers until a couple of weeks ago. But not just that, but obviously the availability of player, the type of player we're looking for. So again, I think that's something that will improve next season anyway, whether we're on the pitch or off the pitch, is that tactical awareness from the group. Because again, a lot of these young boys love to be told, you know, love to know what's expected of them, which we try and do and try and brief them as much as we can. So yeah, that's something that next year I think you'll see a big improvement on, is that people will really know what's expected from them on and off the ball, which makes our job easier if we're on the pitch with them. But we've got some really good talkers in the team. I think Jason and Andy and obviously myself and Ryan, no matter if you're manager or not, then I think it's key that you give good instruction. So I had a good conversation actually with Jim Duffy before the Clyde game, and he said, look, just enjoy every minute, because when you're on the pitch with the boys, that's the kind of best time to kind of get things across and speak to them, you know. And I'm sure at some points he wishes he was on the pitch with his team. So yeah, there is positives to it. Again, it was a bit different coming off on Saturday there and having half an hour on the sideline. But yeah, it's something that you've got to enjoy and embrace as well, which we have been doing.
You mentioned bringing in a coach or coaches. What type of coach or coach would you be looking for? Is it somebody that's been a manager before, or are you looking for an experienced coach just to help you out?
Yeah, it really depends at the moment. We've obviously have spoke to a couple of people, so I wouldn't say too much around that. But a bit of both. Someone really, like you touched on it there, Mark, someone that bounced stuff off, you know. Whether that's an experienced coach / manager who's been in the game a long time, or whether it's someone young with a fresh view like we have on the kind of coaching side of it. So yeah, there's a couple of options there, and we are looking to, again, we'll hopefully make an announcement on that in the next couple of weeks, because it'll be good clarity for the boys, and we 100% will have it in place for pre-season, because we'll both be kind of obviously taking part in pre-season. So yeah, no, so there's a lot of factors to it, but it's definitely easier said than done though to get someone that's exactly right for that position, and we will make sure we pick the correct person for that.
So how do you see next season? Do you anticipate playing similar amount of games next season, or do you think you maybe take a wee step back next season?
I suppose I'll probably be in a better position to answer that in 6 weeks, you know, when we've got a kind of squad together. Ideally, like I say, we'd want to get a support network in place, a squad in place, that we can take ourselves in and out without it having too much effect on the team. We felt we definitely couldn't hide away, and probably were both in our best 11, you know, in the last 8 weeks, so, which was an absolute dogfight, so we had to use our experience there as well on the pitch. But yeah, going forward, we want to build a team that we've got, 15 to 18 boys who are really expecting to start most weeks, you know, so that builds that competitiveness and that trust there. I think trust's a big one as well. Like, you've got to trust your whole squad, don't you? And it's not always been the case this year for different reasons that you've been able to trust certain players in certain types of games.
It's early days, but how have you and Ryan sort of found the dynamics? Have you sort of split the duties yet, or are you still sort of feeling your way out?
Yeah, no, I think we have, right from day one, kind of, we really have. I maybe tend to speak to boys a bit more, you know, in the team talks. I'll do most of that, and Ryan will put his bit in at the end. We've kind of got our presentations there. Obviously, that's where our kind of day-to-day life skills come in. Where I can get, we like to present to the boys exactly what's expected of them in a PowerPoint kind of fashion, which is more and more common now in football. So we're lucky to have that ability to do that at home games. Yeah, and Ryan's been a bit more on the tactical side, you know, where kind of just visualising with the players exactly what's expected of them. So yeah, there's a good balance there. There's a really good balance. Obviously, me and Ryan have known each other a long time until 4 weeks ago. I think we've seen each other every day for about the past 9 years. So I was glad he moved on work-wise. I don't need to see him every day now. But no, we've got a good kind of technology allows us to have all that set up that we can be in touch 24 hours a day, basically, and also have access to a real kind of central drive of Peterhead documents, really, that really reflect everything from the top of the club to the bottom. And I think I mentioned it, that we don't want to leave nothing unturned. You know, we're trying to do improvements right throughout the club. Obviously, everyone knows the priority and focus is on the pitch, but we're trying to do our best off it as well. When the club doesn't have any change, you know, in 10, 11 years or whatever it was, and all of a sudden has two or three or four new faces sitting in that manager's office, then there's quite a lot to change.
So on to the next season then, obviously we sort of know maybe half a league, two at the moment, obviously the playoffs are still to go ahead, but what would your targets for next season be?
Yeah, I think without doubt it would be silly to sit here and say that it's nothing less than winning promotion anyway, you know, but challenging for the league is got to be, yeah, would be no point in us sitting here if we didn't think that had to be the aim, you know. Of course, things will, there's numerous factors to that. First and foremost, recruitment, which again, I've touched on, we're working ever so hard on. That needs to be right. The squad balance needs to be right. Everyone needs to be pulling in the same direction, which I've got no doubts about that they will be. But yeah, it's a tough league. I've been the league personally before. We've won the league personally before. But also, we've fallen short personally before. I think I remember the one on goal difference or a point behind Montrose we were. So it can be really competitive. And there'll be clubs in there, yeah, like we say. Whether Clyde are involved or not, we don't know yet. But I think they'll obviously be competitive. The four that are in the playoffs at the moment, or the three, are always kind of strong sides. Your East Fifes, you would argue that they're kind of Forfar as well. So, I mean, there is bigger clubs in there who have been in League One and standards, or have been comfortable in League One as well. So, yeah, it'll be a fight to get out. There's some tricky away grounds. Your Stranraers and even Bonnyrigg and that, I'm sure that'll be difficult, and we don't know if we get the pleasure of going to Coatbridge yet or not, so we'll see what happens there.
Have you got a sort of style in mind in terms of how you want to see the team playing?
For sure, yeah, and especially like I mentioned there's some difficult away grounds, so we've got to be realistic with how we play. There is going to be different times where you've got to adapt, which I think is key, but yeah, style-wise, like I said there, we hope to have the squad in place where it gives us ability to maybe run the kind of two formations that we really want to play. It's been a bit mix and match in the last 5-6 weeks just with obviously how we'd be kind of forced to play to try and go for it and that. But yeah, no, an attacking style, which we want to play, we want to press high up the park. But we want to also look good in the eye, you know, we want to kind of get players there that can build the ball out from the back when it's on. And yeah, I think I can't reiterate enough. I think the core we do have can do that. But obviously we need quite a lot of help with guys that will be coming in. And the targets that we're speaking to are all built around kind of having that same beliefs and really just being really good footballers, you know. It's so important to be tidy on the ball, no matter what level you're playing at, but particularly at this level where it can be a bit kick and run at times, it can be a bit kind of second ball, but somebody putting their foot on the ball can make such a difference. And I think decisions in that final third as well, which I'm sure if Hamish had been fit for the majority of the season, he would have been able to find that wee bits of quality. So yeah, expectations, especially for him, will be high for next year. Not putting too much pressure on him after this year out. If I can come back from the cruise ship, then so can he.
So I say, if he's listening to this and he's been out for a year, the expectations will be high on him. Like he'll be coming back and going, "Oh, I'm injured again."
No, he's a very good lad and quite laid back, so I'm sure in seriousness, there won't be, obviously we will look after him, especially in the early stage of the pre-season, but he's been looked after superbly by Donald so far. And yeah, in another situation, he may have been involved in the next couple of weeks if we still had games, but yeah, we are where we are, so we will look to next year.
How is Hamish feeling? Is he excited for next season? Obviously a bit disappointed that he's lost a whole season, but on a personal note, I'm assuming he's raring to go for next season in terms of excitement.
I think so, yeah. I think so. It's just building that confidence, especially with his leg. You know, like I say, I've been there myself. Was slightly different because I was full-time when it happened, so you were obviously constantly looked after in that rehab, but I think he has been. And in training situations, he's looked really, really good, you know, in the last few weeks. He's probably been training with the team now for at least 6 weeks. But again, he's had his ups and downs in that sessions. It's all about building confidence for him. I think he's maybe got one more appointment with his surgeon to get the kind of complete all clear, because I think just now it was still supposed to be kind of non-contact stuff. So, yeah. Hamish doesn't give much away. He's quite a quiet man, but I'm sure he'll be ready to go come the start of the season.
I know he's quiet. We've tried to get him on the podcast a couple of times, but he's just that
step
it's away,
a no.
which is fine, fair enough. It's all about positivity for next season, and it's a strange thing to say, but just winning games would be a fine change.
Oh, for sure, and I think it was maybe you guys that touched on it a few weeks ago, was that, like, for the boys that have been here for kind of last season and this season, I think it's myself, Hamish, Jack Brown, Jason, McCarthy. I think we've not been used to winning games, you know, and that's something that needs to change. Winning three games in a season is just, it sounds, if you were to hear that from somebody else, you know, you'd be like, no way, you know, how can that kind of happen? But the reality is it's happened. So we talked about mentality as well, positivity, exactly. Flipping that, not just, it all starts from off the pitch, you know, and it all starts from the demands we put on the players and the kind of morale we build. And yeah, winning games is going to be key, and the club's missed that. It's why we are where we are, you know. I think it needs to start in whatever happens in the group stage of the League Cup as well. You know, we've got to put on a good show there, and obviously everyone's geared against the part-time teams in that cup, but we have to be ready to go for that, and yeah, I'm sure we will be. But yeah, winning games, it's up until a couple of years ago, I think I'd done it for the majority of my career, was winning games, being in winning teams. I think even the season we did get relegated with Peterhead in, if it was 2016 after the 2016-17, I think, wasn't it, after the cup final, we kind of had a real low. It didn't feel like we're losing every week, you know what I mean? It maybe sounds daft to say, but I think, yeah, this year has been really, for long periods anyway, it has felt like we were kind of losing every week, which nobody wants to be a part of.
Jordan, thanks very much for coming on. I know you're really busy trying to find this two or three gems for next season, but I do appreciate you coming on and taking the time out. I wish you well, you and Ryan, for next season, and hopefully if we're talking again this stage next season, it'll be much more positive.
Yeah, I appreciate that, guys, and your support at all times. So yeah, no, great, and any time, and hopefully next time we're chatting, it's definitely been a lot more results-wise on the pitch, much, much better.
So that was Jordan Brown taking his time out to his busy schedule to speak with us. Lots of positive things to say there. Martin, what was your kind of take on what you said?
Yeah, it's all rather positive. Like you said, it was a wee bit strange given the season that we've had, but you know, I think we can all agree that there's been certain players within the squad that just haven't quite met the standards that we're looking for. And I'm sure Ryan and Jordan have identified the targets that they're looking for. They've probably got backup targets as well in case their original ones don't quite get over the line. But as he said, they're working around the clock to try and get things over the line, get things done. And I'm sure we're going to see a team next season that's got a lot more heart and commitment.
And it's interesting, he mentioned sort of picking up the bat on some of the moves that David Robertson had started before he left. And that's probably the trickiest thing for them is now trying to persuade maybe players that Davey was trying to get, but maybe try to persuade them now under a different manager.
Yeah, it's probably tricky for the player as well, because obviously, you know, it will play a part signing for different managers. Davey's got that experience where they're coming into a team that's now, you know, relegated and with relatively inexperienced coaches at the helm. So that'll play a part as well. But, you know, I've been speaking to Jordan and Ryan. These are guys that came the club inside out. And if there's anybody that's going to try and sell the club to anybody, you know, these would be the guys you'd want to be speaking to.
And as I've said during the interview there, it's all about, you know, getting off to a good start. They seem to have this idea that they want to have a certain amount of players in time for the start of pre-season and then just get off to a really good start. Obviously the opposite of what was last season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's imperative that we do get off to a good start. I think if you didn't start the season well, it's when sort of doubt creeps in and everything. Obviously, we want to get back to League One as quick as possible. I think Jordan mentioned there he'd got a target of, was it 15 to 18 sort of players. A lot smaller squad than what we've been used to, but you're also looking for competition for places. I think this season we've been guilty of having players in the team for you know, just the sake of it, making up the numbers. I'd much rather that we only had five or six on a bench, but it was a team that was fully competitive, you know, and players that can play in different positions, but there's that competitive edge that, you know, if your opposite number isn't fully at their A game, then you're willing to come in and, you know, take over.
But we can finally put this season to bed. 2022-23 has been one of those seasons where it might be memorable, but they'll be memorable for the wrong reasons, and we just want to completely forget about it altogether. And at the end of the day, it's I think lessons top to bottom will probably have been learned from this.
Yeah, it's been a really rough season, I think that's put it as an understatement. You know, Jordan touched on it in the interview there, that the club's had a lot of changes this year compared to, you know, the previous 11 years. There's been changes upstairs in the boardroom as well. There's been changes with the managers and a lot of changes of personnel in the squad as well. So it's been a tricky season for everyone, but I'm sure everybody's on board from top to bottom and trying to get us back to League One at the first opportunity.
So just one more episode from us for this season. Next week we will have the our end of season awards, which has been really difficult to try and justify some of the entrants, but some of the ones that we'll be announcing before next week's episode, I think, thoroughly justify it as well. And I think it just sort of sums up how difficult the season has been, just trying to nail down even just like a team of the year, because there's so many changes and so few players have actually played the entire season.
Yeah, I mean, since we've done the podcast, it's probably been the hardest year to pick out the categories of, you know, the standout player of the year, you know, and performance of the year, team of the year. It has been a challenge. As you said, we've gone through quite a lot of players as well. So, yeah, it's something to deliberate over the next couple of days.
And as I said, over the past few weeks, if you are looking to sponsor an episode for next season, do get in touch. We'll post that again over the summertime. We've seen an increase this season in terms of our listeners, so get in touch with us through email or through our social medias. But that is it for this season. Big thank you to everybody that's been listening. Thank you to everybody who has come on this season as well. From the opposition fans' standpoint, because it was the first time we've done it this season. I think it was quite a good exercise just to get a slightly different feel on the games, and hopefully everybody came on and enjoyed it. It wasn't too much of a task, but again, thanks to everybody for continued support over the season. It's really much appreciated, and especially your comments and questions every week as well. It's good to get them.
Yeah, the podcast isn't really wrong with it, the interaction of the guys. I think the feature at the end where you're previewing the game with somebody else, I think it's worked well. I think there's been a good balance. I'm glad that they didn't come on afterwards and sort of gloat in the misery of the season that we've had. Yeah, the interactions as well, we have seen an increase as the seasons have gone on, and, you know, all the comments are welcomed.
And it just goes to me, one more thank you is again to you, Martin, for another season. It's a fourth season now we've done this, so appreciate your company over the season. And what's probably been, I don't know how you felt some occasions, but now looking forward to a lot of Mondays this year.
Mondays isn't the best day of the calendar anyway, but some of them has been tough. I've thoroughly enjoyed coming on again this season. And for looking forward to next season as well, hopefully with a lot more positive things to speak about. I am looking forward to it, even though it'll be a division below, for looking forward to it.
And that is it for this week. I do hope you have enjoyed it. Thank you again to Jordan Brown for taking the time to speak with us, and my thanks to Martin Smith for his insight as always. Thank you everyone for listening, and for your comments and questions, do keep them coming in. I've been Colin Byers, Martin and I will be back again next week with our end of season review, so until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.